This is the most unusual illustrated message that I've ever preached. You see, the songs I'm going to use today are not Christian songs, they're worldly songs. You'll say, Pastor, that's quite unusual, but I'll tell you why. I'd like to analyze the songs, the writers, the singers. You see, they're the ones that we look at and say, hey, they've reached the stars. They're the ones our kids look up as being their idols. Let's see what life's all about for them. Let's look on the inside and analyze their life a little and see if it's all it's cracked up to be. And I pray that your mind will be open as we listen to this message entitled, Born to Lose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I pray that you'll bless the message I'm about to speak for the next few minutes. I pray that your Holy Spirit shall come down and anoint this service. Oh God, let lives be changed by the power of the resurrected Savior, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Born to lose. I've lived my life in vain. Every dream has only brought me pain. All my life I've always been so blue. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. Born to lose.
Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? The soul. What do we know about the soul? It's mysterious indeed. Where is it located? Can it speak? Can it hear? How can the soul exist separate from the body? How much is the soul worth? These are things that are mysterious to us about the soul. We know that this old body that houses the soul is only worth 98 cents. A few chemicals, little fertilizer could be made out of the body. But its value is not very much. But what about this mysterious thing that writers have written about that do not understand the soul? The only value I can place upon the soul is the value that God placed upon the soul. For the Bible said he so loved the world and so loved man that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are some things we do know about the soul. The soul is seeking. It is restless, constantly looking for rest and hope. We know the soul is lonely. It is born alone. It goes through life alone. And it dies alone. Our body fences it off from all other souls. We know the soul is friendless. The devil is your soul's enemy. Good people give the wrong advice. Outside of God, your soul has no one to go to. You may confide in people, and find that they betray your confidence. And so your soul is constantly looking for friendship and fellowship. The soul is searching for peace. And so it turns to riches, thinking that's the answer. And so it turns to luxuries, thinking that's the answer. And so it listens to the educator that says, education is the answer. And so it listens to the movie star, whose name is in lights, who's gained the entire world, and lost her soul. And by the way, we have a nursery for the babies, and I'd like to encourage our audience to use that nursery where everyone can hear the message that I'm preaching here today. Therefore, my friends, the soul, it searches, it's lonely. It reaches out for lost, dying humanity. Today, I want us to take a look at those people that have gained the world. They're famous. They're rich. Their names are in lights. They've climbed high to the pinnacle. They're the ones that when I was a boy, I used to say, I could just be like that man. If I could have my name in lights, if I could just trade with Elvis Presley, that would be the answer. Let's look at those people who have gained the world and see if they really have gained the world. Several years ago, there was a man who rose from poverty in the South. And out of Alabama, from the sticks of Alabama, there rose a little man with something in his heart that was lonely. He began to write many, many popular tunes. They were country songs. But one song made him a multimillionaire and today has probably sold more copies than any other song. I think it's because it was to express the heart of this lonely man. His name was Hank Williams. Hank Williams was popular. He moved high up the ladder of success. People almost worship what they said, maybe the greatest songwriter in the popular and country field that this nation has ever known. And yet Hank Williams was a lonely man. He turned in despair and distress to drink. And then he turned to drugs. This man who had everything in the world was a miserable wretch. And often he would not even turn up for appearances. He died at the age of 29 of acute alcoholism. Some say he was drunk when he hit that curve that day, and others say that it was drugs that had caused him to fall asleep that he had taken. But Hank Williams, who was loved and worshipped, wrote a song entitled, Your Cheating Heart. And suddenly men begin to identify with that. The words go, your cheating heart will tell upon you. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked, and no man knows it. The Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right in a man's heart, but the way thereof is death. The Bible clearly tells us there is no peace for the wicked. Let's listen to the words of this song. And if you listen closely, I think you'll find that the words are an expression, an innate desire searching for peace within this man's heart. The song is sung by his son, Hank Williams Jr. Let's listen to it now.
Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep. But sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating will tell you when tear comes down like falling rain. You'll talk around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell you when tears. talk around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell.
Wasted life. And yet, about that time, another young lady came upon the scene. A little girl, sparkling black eyes, a voice that boomed out, a personality that sparkled. We remember well because of Andy Hardy. She played his girlfriend. Judy Garland became the little queen of the entire world. Her songs, her personality beamed out and happiness was brought to many. But Judy Garland, as she grew to be a grown lady, had much sorrow and a stormy life ahead of her. As a little girl, they used to give her pep pills that were no more than strong drugs to pep her up so she could keep up the pace. In later years, she began to depend upon them and lean upon them. Five stormy, tragic marriages. At the end of the fifth marriage, she turned heavily upon drugs and constantly was found overdosed and many times at the point of death. Eventually, she ended her life by suicide, but before that incident, there were many times that they caught her just in time. She was watched very close, but one day in London, England, they found her overdosed and they thought this time it would be too late. They rushed her to the London hospital. Finally, by a miracle of medicine, they saved her life. She was to appear at the Palladium, the famous show place in London, only 3 days after that. Arrangements were decided that it would be better for her to go back on the stage instead of counseling. Across America and around the world, Judy Garland, who traveled the world, who was in demands with kings and queens, who was loved in every nation of the world, suddenly across the headlines, it read, Judy tries to kill herself again. Can you imagine the drama that night? As she marches on the stage, in just a minute, we are going to hear the soundtrack. The actual soundtrack of Judy Garland 3 days after she tried to kill herself. The Palladium was packed to capacity with people who loved her and worshipped her at her greatest fans. It's a picture of a lady that had tried to take her own life. Everyone knew the drama. The intensity was great. We're going to listen to that in just a minute. You're going to hear the opening number of that appearance. If you listen closely in there when she talks about the bird flying over the rainbow, you'll hear her voice break as she broke down and sobbed. The audience began to weep, and such was the intensity that they placed it in every one of her performances. They placed that sob, but the first time it was for real. Why did she cry when she said birds fly over the rainbow? Maybe she was thinking, oh, if I could just fly away. I could just escape. But Judy Garland could not escape. David one day looked at a dove flying in the air, and David said, oh, for the wings of a dove. But I could fly away, and I want to tell you there's no place to hide. You may try to bury your life in drugs and drink. You may look for happiness in a new companion. But the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. There is no place of refuge. There's no hiding place. Again, let's recreate that. The curtains are now being pulled on that beautiful Palladium. Judy Garland walks upon the stage for opening moment. If you listen closely when she gets to the place, birds fly over the rainbow, you'll hear her break. Let's hear that moment. Thank you.
and a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney top. That's where you
Judy Garland never found her rainbow. For eventually she succeeded in taking her life. She had a friend by the name of Marilyn Monroe, the closest of friends. It is said that Judy and Marilyn Monroe used to go to parties together, each of them afraid of people. One time Marilyn Monroe said, "I am surrounded with people. People who want to see me commit suicide." Marilyn Monroe, whose real name was Norma Jean, the little girl who went to Angelus Temple, heard the great Amy Sybil McPherson, the great woman of Angelus, gave her heart to Jesus Christ, baptized by that evangelist. But one day fame came to the beautiful blonde-headed girl, and she became the sex idol of the world. Probably before or since, never has there been anyone as popular in that field as Marilyn Monroe. Lonely she felt, and adding to this was the fact that she could not have children. She searched happiness in Joe DiMaggio, and then, and three marriages in the rocks. And so she turned to drugs. One day her last husband saw a sore in his mouth, and he asked to look a little closer, and when she opened her mouth, he saw hundreds of sores from barbiturates. And immediately he rushed her to the hospital, and the doctor was amazed that she could even live with so much of it in her system. Yes, Marilyn Monroe felt alone. Her name was in life. She was loved by all, applauded by the world. She had what Satan tells us brings joy. But one morning they found her dead on the bed with foam dangling in hand. She had conquered the world, a world she could not lose. And she had lost her soul. Ernest Hemingway handsome as a movie star, as brilliant as an intellect that could possibly be. He supped with kings and queens. His writings were inspiring. Many a man has testified. He inspired him with his wit and his humor. Yet this man who inspired others could not save himself. One day he took off his shoes after an illness and placed the gun in his mouth. And with his tongue, literally pulled the trigger and blew the back of his head off. But the cavalcade marches on. The young people recognize the name Janis Joplin. That free-willing, loud-singing 27-year-old rock singer. When she would sing, they said it was a sight to behold. She would howl and moan and groan and laugh and curse. They said she sang like she lived, and she must have lived wicked, because her language and her singing was unbelievable. She'd reach down for what she calls a jug full of southern comfort and break it, and then they would hand it to her out of the audience, and she would drink and drink and drink until people couldn't believe that she could even stand, much less perform. She was a member of the philosophy that believed, do your own thing. She said, turn yourself loose, and you'll be more than you ever dreamed that you could be. She lived by the philosophy, do your own thing, young people. Do what makes you feel good. She also said the worst thing in the world was to be alone. She hated love. One night she checked in a motel where she would later take her life. The man at the counter thought it was a 50-year-old woman. She injected within her some heroin that night, an overdose that caused her to fall against the sink and bash her head in. They found her with blood oozing from her nose and her mouth. Yes, Janis Joplin had said, there is nothing worse than loneliness. Hendrix, the famous guitarist, famous rock and roll singer, overdose. Last week in the newspaper, Freddie Prinze, handsome, dynamic. He looked happy from the outside. Chico on the man. But suddenly with Cadillacs and thousands of dollars in success, and everyone knowing who he was, he ends it with a gun. Nick Adams. He used to play the rebel. He came in the revival in North Hollywood, California. Nick Adams, who used to play Johnny Ubad, the rebel on the television series, came to the altar in the meeting, gave his heart to Jesus. First he said, I'm going to renounce Hollywood, but then he tried to hang on to Hollywood. And Nick Adams, one morning, we read it in the Sunday newspaper, overdose. I could go on and on and on and on and on. The prank gets longer every single day, but at the same time, something else is happening. Hollywood has become alive with personalities turning to Christ. Many of you read in the newspaper last week, there has never been such a revival of personalities, from TV to Phyllis George, right on down to Eldridge Cleaver, the Black Panther organizer, right on down to Dean Jones, to Dell Evans, to Pat Boone, the Galloping Gourmet, on and on and on and on. Hollywood is full of people renouncing, serving Jesus, breaking free from Hollywood. Why? There's a man who came to our city many years ago. He told me that he walked in the Masonic Temple and sang and didn't even remember that he was singing. He stood with me in a trailer house at John O'Donnell Stadium and said, years ago, I held a concert in this stadium. I had to literally be carried off the stage into my car and home. And Luther, his guitar player, said, that's true. Fine women in song was all I wanted, he said. I was heading towards the bottom. I'd already been in jail, busted for drugs. And then something happened. His favorite friend and guitar player overdosed on drugs and died. 2 weeks after that, I held a revival in Nashville, Tennessee. Johnny Cash and his wife walked into the service, and I preached on this very scripture. What should it profit a man if he should gain the world and lose his soul? Tears streamed down that famous man's cheeks, and his wife likewise. I spoke to them after the service. 2 weeks later, Brother Snow, the pastor of that church, Hank Snow's son, led Johnny Cash and his wife to Jesus Christ. And the last 2 years, he's returned to the Quad Cities. But it was different when he came back this time. Something had happened. I've showed you what it's like the other way. Let me show you what it's like now. When Johnny Cash comes back to the Quad Cities.
Recently, I found a verse in the Bible that I felt like Paul wrote just for me. Because when I read it, I jumped up and down, turned around 3 or 4 times, clicked my heels and said, yippee, there it is. Romans 8:13 says, and I hardly ever quote scripture because I usually misquote it when I do, preachers. But I'm going to take a stab at Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And I said, that's mine. That is mine.
It is real honor to have with us a man that, well, is a legend in his own time. I could say many, many wonderful things, but I'm sure that he wouldn't appreciate it and would embarrass him greatly. A man that has done something for us, a friend of mine. I love him very much, and the people of the Quad Cities love him. And he could be a lot of places today. He could be a lot of places making a lot of money today. But instead, he chose to come and donate his services to be with us free of charge in Davenport, Iowa, to stand up for Jesus Christ and his testimony, and to present good gospel and good music to a crowd of people on this wonderful fall afternoon. I know you all love Johnny Cash, and I do too. I can tell you how honorable we are to have him with us, but I don't want to take his time up. Are you glad to have Johnny Cash with us today? Let's give him a real welcome as Johnny Cash comes.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. You can't argue against that. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, which make dead the deeds of the body. After about 8 or 10 years on amphetamines, barbiturates, and alcohol, 7 or 8 years ago when I came back to the faith, when I made that recommitment, rededication, I discovered that in all of its reality, that little verse was fulfilled in my life because I felt the life that was coming. I began living in the eternity, the eternal life that I knew was mine. And there's something that comes with it that nobody can argue about, you know, because they can't say, how do you know that it's there? How do you know it's real? Because I'm already living in it. I'm already into it. Well, woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, stumbled down the stairs to meet the day.
Everybody look straight this way. I'd like for everybody to be seated now because I've got some very important things to speak to you about. And I know you're going to give me your complete attention. You know, the world today is looking for satisfaction. Like no other time in history, people are searching to be satisfied. The educator says the answer is knowledge. Yet our nation has more knowledge than the rest of the world, and we have mixed up people. The economist says put money in the pockets and you'll put joy in the hearts. But America's rich and yet most miserable. The politician says make a man free and give him democracy and he'll be free. But America has democracy and she's not free. Would you like to be free? Would you walk out of this place today and know that if you die, you'd be ready to meet the Lord? Then I ask you, turn to the Lord. Have you ever wondered why we read the stories of Judy Garland's? The stories of the famous people that have taken their life and we wonder how in the world they can do it. There are people in this building that came here today that are miserable. You're good people. You go to church. Your morals are high. You believe in God as strong as I, or Johnny Cash believes in God. You believe it as strong as anyone in this place. And yet you are not free. Would you like to be free?
Many years ago in days of childhood,
in the balconies,
I used to play
whole families
till evening time would come, still winding down that old familiar pathway.
All things can pass away.
I hear my mother call at setting sun.
Move in as close as you can. They're coming all over this place.
Come home, come home, it's supper time.
Praise God.
The shadows may come.
Come
home, come home, it's supper time.
Father, bring the whole family today.
We're going home at last.
Sing it again as they come again. I know some of you wonder why I preach with such intensity. But if you could just stand with me 1 year. Visit the hospitals that I visit of people who are dying. If you could just sit in my office and look at the army. I mean, they come like an army to my office saying, help us, preacher. Help us, preacher. Look what sin has done to my life. I've never had one person come to my office yet and say, look what I've got into because I serve Jesus. Never yet. Sin is going to be paid for in your conscience, in your children, in your character. As they sing this song again, I believe their dads, that they will come, their children will come. There's children, if they come, their parents will come. Don't you be ashamed. Jesus wasn't ashamed to die on the cross for you. Oh, move in a little closer. We can't even get them all to the front. Why don't you step out and make a commitment, not to a church, but Jesus.
Now's the time to begin that new life. And every day is a brand new mountain. You'll have pitfalls. You'll have troubles. You'll have setbacks. But you're on your way. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Every head bowed. Every eye closed. No one looking around. I want you to turn on only a few house lights now. You have the choice. You have the choice. You can accept life,
are dead. The wages of sin, God said, is death. He said, be sure your sins will find you out. He said, because of sin, God spared not the world. But he said, the gift of God is eternal life. Just before I close, I'm going to pray. Just before I pray, I'm going to see if you people in this building want life or death. There are people in this building, like I preached on that film, you're good people, you believe in God, you go to church, you believe in God as strong as I do. You'd fight to keep America free, but you're not sure if you die, you'd go to heaven. You don't have peace. You don't have complete contentment. Oh, listen, you can have life. You can have the joy that people are experiencing all the way from presidents to paupers all over the world. Would you like to leave with peace? Would you like to lay your head on the pillow tonight and know that if you die, you'd be ready to meet God? You can have it. Now, you've got the choice. You've seen both choices. Just before I close, I'm going to pray. Just before I pray now, I'm going to ask everyone in this building to raise your hand. You'll say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I die, I'd go to heaven. I'll be honest. I don't have peace. I'm not sure. I'm not satisfied, preacher. If there's any doubt, you need prayer. No one is looking. Every head is bowed. The lights are low and God's moving. All I'm asking you to do is to put your hand up and down in just a minute. Not now, but I'm going to count to three in a minute. And I want everyone in this building to raise your hand. You'll say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be a fool and turn the good choice down. I want Jesus. I believe hands are going to go up all over this building. I'm counting to three. Get ready to raise them. One. When I come to three, I want you to put your hand up. Join the masses, the hundreds that came, the thousands in the two Johnny Cash meetings. Join the great number of people that found the Lord in our biggest early service in a long time this morning and one of the greatest altar calls we had. You can leave this building with life. If you want to turn back tomorrow, you can, but give him a chance. Two, get ready to put your hand. When I say three, I want you to raise them from the left to the right, to the front, to the rear of this building. Husband, wife, boy, or girl. If you're ashamed of God, you'll keep your hand down. If you don't want life, you'll keep your hand down. If you want to leave in a worse situation than when you came, you'll keep your hand down. If you want to willfully reject Christ, you won't raise your hand. But if there's any doubt, if you're not sure, if you want to be satisfied, when I say three, I want you to put your hand up all over this building and say, preacher, pray for me. I believe there are many. Get ready. All over this audience, let me see your hand right now. Three, put your hand up. They're going up. They're going up all over this building. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. They're still going up. All over this building, keep putting your hands up high. Preacher, pray for me. Oh, this is wonderful. Christians, pray. Hands are still being raised. Come on, fella, put your hand up. Come, husband, come, wife, boy, girl, put your hand up high. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And now I'm going to pray. Before I pray, I'm going to ask everyone in this building who raised your hand, you may put them down now, to do something. If you meant business when you raised your hand, if you want Jesus, if you want to be a winner, not a loser, if you want to join the ranks of the wise and turn to Jesus, if you want your family to be happy, if you care about those beside you that you influence, father, husband, wife, I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hand in a minute to stand to your feet as I pray for you. Now, if you don't mean business, you'll sit there. If you want to be lost, you'll sit there. But if you want Jesus, well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and I believe it's going to be 100%. I believe every one of you that raised your hand, all heads are bowed. You meant business. I want everyone that raised your hand to stand to your feet right now as I pray for you. And I believe it's going to be 100%. Stand. They're getting up all over the building. Stand, husband. Stand, wife. Quickly, quickly. Every one of you. Every one of you that raised your hand, keep standing. Keep standing. In the balcony, quickly stand, young man. Teenager that raised your hand, stand in Jesus' name. Christians, pray. They're still getting up. There's couples that raised their hands that haven't yet stood. Please stand, couple. Husband, lead the wife. Wife, the husband. Friend, the friend. If you're lost and you're ashamed, you'll take your friend with you. This is my last call. This is my last. Oh, they're still getting up. Keep praying. Christians, keep praying. They're still standing. God bless that couple that stood. Keep praying. God bless that one. There's another couple. God bless that lady that just stood. Keep praying. There are others of you. I beg of you, immediately stand and say, "Preacher, we need Jesus. This is my last call." Remain standing. Close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for these that stood, but it's not enough to stand. It's not enough to weep. It's not enough to believe. I pray, God, that not one of these people that are standing will leave this building until they know Jesus. Don't let them lose their soul. I pray, God, these people will do what they can do. They'll find Jesus today. You said if we'd confess our sins, you'd forgive us. I pray these people will do it. In Jesus' name, remain standing just a minute. And now, because I care, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to see if you really meant business. If you did, I'm asking every one of you that are standing to your feet to step out in just a minute while heads are bowed and walk down this aisle like they did at that John O'Donnell Stadium and as they do in the Billy Graham Crusades. And I want you to come and kneel quietly here and not join the church. Now, if you're ashamed of God, you'll sit back down. If you don't mean Jesus, you won't come. But I believe it's going to be 100%. Come on. They're coming. I don't see one sitting down. Thank you. Come, dear lady. You'll make it 100%. They're moving out. They're moving out. Thank God not one is setting back. Bus pastors may be dismissed. Not bus workers, but the pastors. The drivers, rather, may be dismissed. Everybody move forward to this altar. No one else is dismissed. Hang right in here with me, folks. Just tell Bill I kept you a little longer. That's okay. It's only 12. It's just 12 o'clock. We're ahead of time, people. I don't want anyone else moving from this audience. Oh, thank God. Come over here. Bring some of them on this side. Come over here, girls. Oh, thank you. Isn't this wonderful? They're coming all over the building. Thank God. They're coming all over this building. There are others that need Jesus. They're still coming. There are couples that raised their hands, but they didn't come. There are people beside you that need Jesus that haven't yet come. But they want to come. I tell you what I want you to do. As we stand to our feet, I want you to look beside you. If there's somebody that you do not know, they may be the finest person in the world, but don't know Jesus. There may be people there beside you. I want you just to turn if you don't know them and say, "Would you like to come to the altar? I'll come with you." You'll say, "Preacher, I might make them mad." No, you won't. If they care, they'll thank God that someone cared enough and they'll come with you. One thing for sure, they'll appreciate it. I believe people are going to get saved all over this audience right now. As we stand to our feet, we're going to sing, come home, it's supper time. And I believe people are going to move all over the place. Doug, if you'll come and lead us in that chorus. I believe people are going to move out all over this building. Bring your friend with you. Young couple that raised your hand for Jesus, you come now. I believe they're going to come. No one moving from this audience. Hang with me now. Sing it together, Doug.
Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows length and fast. Come home.
Jesus, come now.
The shadows
come to life.
Leak
come to life. Will you all join in and sing it loud and strong together?
Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going.
I feel that we got to sing that one more time. Just one more time. Christian, please obey God. There's a good young man that wants to come. I know this sermon's different, but I cared enough to preach this kind of sermon. I cared enough to get up here and tell you how it is. Not in a dream world, but I showed you the real McCoy here today. How many appreciate a preacher that'll live where people live? Now, sir, it'd been better that you never came today than to hear this and reject. You're not rejecting Tommy Barnett, but God. It's dangerous to say no to God. You've heard enough gospel to save you and enough to condemn you. What have you got to lose, Father? Come on, Mother. Young men, turn to Jesus. Give him a chance. If you want to turn back tomorrow, you can. You've given everything else a chance. Why don't you try Jesus? I challenge you. I dare you. Be a man. They're coming right now. God's moving.
Come home.
This will be the last call.
Come home. It's supper time.
Somebody just waiting for a nudge for you. Step out quickly.
The shadows lengthen fast.
Come home, it's supper time. We're home at last, sing it.
Come home, it's supper time.
But I want you to hear me. If you ever heard me look this way, this is fantastic altar call. It's great. Everybody thanks God for it. Say amen. But I want to tell you something. I was amazed at the few visitors we had compared to this big crowd. This is basically our own people. And I give you a little hint. I'm not going to preach to a church full of Christians. That's all I'm going to say. Christians, if we lose the burden, we're going to drop like every dead church in town. God have mercy on your soul. We've prayed, we've wept, we've toiled here, and you had a chance to bring people to hear something that would win them, and they would come if you'd have really worked at it this week. Now don't you tell me they wouldn't. I know they would have. Now I love you. That's why I talk that way. But you know what I'm telling you is the truth. If we don't watch it, we'll come and sit back and say, boy, I'm going to enjoy it. You enjoy it more when you're by yourself. But there's a dying world that needs Jesus. Now you remember, you better get out and bring these people if we want to win this city for Christ. If we want our church to be a vital church, if we want it to keep the freshness, you'll say, preacher, you ought to be shouting. Yeah, you ought to be shouting too. I hadn't heard a shout out there all day. You ought to be hallelujahing when these altars are filled. Say amen. Some of you, if you don't watch it, will get to the place that you want to get deeper now. You don't get deeper than this. I said you don't get deeper than this. How many of you say, preacher, I know what you say is the truth. Put your hand up real high. How many will say, I sat here and thought about it. I should have got some unsaved people out there. And by God's help, I'm going to do it. Raise your hand. See, I'm going to try that again. I hope you do better this time. How many will say, preacher, I'm going to try to do better. Put your hand up. Now, I'm not mad at you. How many know I'm not mad at you? I love you. But I'm not going to be satisfied until they're kneeling up and down these aisles. And next time we have something, I say, get the unsaved out. Get them out. This is great. Best altar call we've had in a while. But it could have been 100 people. I said it could have been 100 people. I said it could have been 100 people. Well, we'll just stay here a little longer if you don't amen. I said it could have been 100 people. Lord, thank you for this great altar call. Put your hands up and praise God with me. Put your hands up and praise God with me. Thank you, God, for this tremendous altar call. Brand new people I've never seen in these altars before. Let's rejoice, people. If we're not thankful, he'll divert his blessing to someone else. Thank you for this altar call, Lord. We praise you with all of our hearts. But, oh God, we're dedicating ourselves right now to bring sinners next Sunday morning and pack this place out with people up and down the aisle. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing it so good. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God, Doug. You know the song. I know what it's supposed to be, but you know it. And I want you to turn around. Don't run for that door. Turn around and hug 8 people and tell them you love them. Ask them what their name is. Get back tonight. It's going to be super tonight. It was good this morning, but super tonight. All right. Go your way rejoicing.